Welcome to the Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
All right, guys, welcome in, man. How do you like my FedEx package?
I see you got fun.
I did. Yeah. I got. It wasn't 75 grand. It wasn't 50 grand. It was $1.28.
All right.
Yeah, I owed him a little money. Good to see you, 9-3. How you been?
All right, man.
Yeah, you ready to rip the Band-Aid off?
What's that?
Ran into a guy named Drew Brees.
Oh.
He's pretty good. Gets a paycheck in this league, doesn't he?
He's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's arguably the best. I put it like that, and he showed it. He is the man. He really is.
We're going to get those phone numbers out to you right now. 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-BUCKS, and we'll get the rest of them out to you as soon as I find my card. But, you know, you're a 3-2 team. You lost a tough one. This was a tough loss for you. Probably your toughest loss so far as a pro. You lost some tough games in college. Just give me overall thoughts right off the top of your head, not just about the game, but how you feel as a professional athlete. This is early on in your career. You know, 10 years from now, this is going to mean nothing, but right now it does mean something.
As far as the loss goes?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm starting to learn how to after the Pittsburgh loss, you know, I was devastated. I'm not used to losing. You know, we didn't lose much at OU. Well, we did last year, but, you know, didn't get accustomed to losing.
Sure.
So, you know, but I have
you
to
never
learn
want
that.
To get accustomed
you're
to
right. Losing. So you got to learn in this league that you're going to lose. You want to win all 16, but you're not going to. And if you do, then great. But it's rare to see it. And, you know, it's an eye-opener for us. But we graded ourselves pretty critical in the film room, and we're going to bounce back, get ready for St. Louis.
Overall breakdown of the film, was it physical? Was it technique? Was it gaps? If you could round it off, what were you told? What did your coaches tell you?
We just got beat on all facets of the game. That's just, being in our fits. We were in our fits, but sometimes we were out of our fits. Sometimes, the coaches were getting the call in late. Sometimes the coaches would say, call a certain call that didn't, Sean Payton would
didn't fit.
Counteract it. It's just
the fits didn't fit.
Then we would miss tackles. There was a lot going on. And that's just our side of the ball. I don't speak for the offense because that's what they do.
Sure.
On the defensive side. That's just kind of what was going on our side of the ball.
I don't really feel like this game. The Pittsburgh game kind of snowballed.
Mm-hmm.
It was like quick. You know, before you knew it, you look up at the scoreboard, it's 28-6 or 28-3 or whatever it was. This game, Drew Brees finds a couple of deep receivers and it's 14 zip. And I don't really feel like that was a snowball effect, but it felt like we couldn't grab any momentum. I'll look at the notes, a kicker doinks too. This is a guy coming into the game. It seemed like almost every facet of the game I was looking for that one guy in the game that was going to pick up the team, say, get on my shoulders, whether that's a wide out, whether that's a running back, whether that's someone playing defense. And teams lay an egg, and I think most people looked at that as, you're going to have bad games, and you guys simply had a bad game. So
It happens. You just seen it again with the game just watched yesterday with the Titans and the Jaguars.
Yeah, Jags leading.
It just happens in this league. It's rare to see, but it does happen. And it's just about how you bounce back determines how really good a team you are.
Sure. I mean, and honestly, coming in, anybody that follows the NFL on a serious level had seen the Saints stumble the week before against
right.
Arizona. This was the Super Bowl team.
Right.
A lot of talent, and we knew they'd right the ship. They just happened to do it against you guys.
Yeah, they bounced back. And that's one thing we have to do this week. We have to put that game behind us. We will see him again. We know that, but right now we're focused on St. Louis.
You do get discouraged. No one wants to lose. You're a winner. You want to be a winner the rest of your career. After the game, in the last 24, 36 hours, there's been some things said. Is anything you want to set the record straight on or, bring up?
There actually is. There was a question brought up in my head coach's press conference about something that was said by me, I guess.
Do you remember?
The old defense and the new defense, how it's played different or whatever it is. I just want to set the record straight and let everybody know, you can hear me say what I said. And basically, there was some confusion on my part. It wasn't the coaches. The coaches have done a great job, and they've done everything right. There was just some confusion on my part about what it is I needed to be doing in this defense. And that got cleared up. I mean, it was simple as that. You know, it was made out to be, well, the Tampa 2 defense is not the same. Coach Morris is doing it different, and they're not letting him do it. It's not like that at all. There was some confusion on my part, not the coaches, on my part, and I've straightened it out, and now I know what it is exactly I need to be doing.
You know, the tough thing, the good thing about being a high draft pick is your family's set for life. The tough thing is expectations are going to start high and get higher. Right. You don't start low. They start high. And I see that in your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, you have your own personal expectations.
I do.
But you do realize you're a rookie in this league.
That's fine.
Okay. You know, but that's the realistic viewpoint, what we're talking about. You're the pro. I'm the guy looking out saying, you know what? He's a rookie. Okay, he's playing a defensive tackle position that normally rookies don't excel at.
Right.
You do pretty good. You do good. You do great. But you don't do, you know, even sap. Remember we were talking about sap a couple weeks ago. Since his first year, he had 3 sacks, and he was pretty much non-existent. It wasn't until his second year that he started to learn and refine his craft. Do you think you're being too hard on yourself?
No. At times.
Okay.
At times I am.
You just said no. You just said no and yes. So go ahead.
At times I am. Yeah. I just need to learn and relax. The thing about me is I love this game so much. I love what I do. I don't do it for just, you know, the reward of it. I do it because I actually love playing this sport. I really do. It's a passion of mine. My family knows when football's not going well for me, they know not to talk to me. They know not to call me because this is what I do. I truly believe this is what I was put on this earth to do, amongst other things.
Sure.
But this is the talent God gave me. And I love playing the game. So I want to be the best at it. I want to be great. And if I feel like I'm not playing up to that caliber, then, you know, I'm not satisfied.
All right, so there's a fine line between expecting yourself to play well and also the realistic expectations. I'm sure your D-line coach or even head coach Roz, there are times they're going to dress you down and go, listen, you know better. Because it was something you knew better, and other times you're still on you're on a learning curve here,
right?
You know, there is a certain learning curve. I mean, do you expect Josh Freeman to be as good as the quarterback we faced last week? No, because he's on a learning curve, and it's the same goes for your position. The same goes for any position,
right? There's ups and downs to this league, and being a rookie in my position, there's going to be ups and downs as far as a player and a coach coaching a young guy to be what it is they expect him to be. And, you know, I have to learn that. I'm my own worst critic.
Sure.
I judge myself so
but
hard.
But that's your passion. That's your passion coming to the surface, though. That's the same thing.
And my father always calls me and says, you have to relax. You can't be so hard on yourself all the time. And he's been telling me that for years. But I will eventually learn it, and I will have to learn it quick in this league. Because, like I said, there's ups and downs. You mentioned where you said Rondé said there's times where he'll get a pick one game and then go 3, 4, 5 games and then have another game with 3 picks.
Sure.
I mean, it's the nature of the beast, and that's how this league works.
That is the ebb and flow of the game. You're going to have 3 sack games, and you're going to have no tackle games. You are going to have those type of games. Everybody does. I mean, Aqib Talib had 3 picks, and then Aqib Talib, you know, saw a couple of wide receivers behind him last week.
Yeah.
That is the ebb and flow of what happens
in
this league. The idea of that happening on a consistent basis, fans don't want you to, you know, like, you know, I don't want to throw any names out there, but we do know there was a quarterback that got a big paycheck and never really showed up in L.A., okay?
Right.
Because he took the paycheck and even mentioned that we don't want our Buck players being satisfied with what the car they drive. We want them to excel because they're driven. You're driven.
Right.
You're driven. That's a great sign. You do realize that's a great sign.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, good.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, like I said, this is my passion. And, you know, the fans have high hopes and high expectations for me. And I appreciate that. I welcome them. I embrace them. And I take it as a challenge. And I will embrace it. And I will work towards and continue to work as hard as I can to get us back to that traditional Tampa 2 defense that this town needs and is used to, and
you and 10
we'll
other,
get there.
You and 10 other guys.
Right.
You and 10 other guys.
Right. When I say I mean I'm going to do my part exactly. for the defense.
I had a couple of suds after the game, was hanging out with some Buck fans. Not one of them said Gerald McCoy lost the game. They said the Bucks lost the game.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I want to talk a lot about the NFL because there's a lot of things going on in the NFL, I think.
Oh, man.
You know,
these fines.
Yeah, $75,000.
These fines, man.
$50,000 for two other guys.
The thing about it that's crazy to me is one of those hits, like the Patriots hit, I think it was, mm-hmm. where he hit Todd Heap, was it?
Yeah.
And he kind of leaned in. I mean, I don't know what they expect him to do. He's just playing hard. I mean, do you expect him to, like, kind of try and duck under his helmet? I mean, I don't.
It is a hot topic. You want to get to it with some callers, too? Because I know a lot of people want to
talk
about
this. Man.
Because you grew up watching what was the NFL videos they used to have out when they were kids? Hard hits or jacked up? Remember ESPN used to do jacked up?
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of a double standard going on here in the
NFL. Yeah, I mean, you can have, like, the thing is you'll have – you know, this person get fined. He got fined because he hit him. He got fined because he hit him. And then at the end of the week, this week's hardest hits, and it'll be those same tackles.
Yes.
You know, that's just – you kind of contradict yourself with that. But, hey, it's the NFL's the NFL.
We're going to talk about that tonight. I want the fans to weigh in on that too because it is definitely – you know, we don't want to take the – you know, you want to keep the security. You want to keep players safe. You always want to make sure you're not playing dirty. You want to keep guys walking upright in this league, but you can't legislate a violent game or take the violence out of it. It's a violent game.
Right, it is.
It is a violent game. It's, you know, that's why we're, you know, we're not playing flag football. I don't see you wearing any flags on your hips. You wearing any flags on your hips?
No.
Exactly. All right, guys, we'll put those phone numbers out for you. Jump on, and we will talk, of course, a little bit more about that game. We'll talk, of course, all about the Rams and Steven Jackson coming into town, and we'll talk about the NFL in general because the Bucs are 3-2. Saints and Falcons, I guess, technically a half a game ahead of them because they played one more game. Here's your numbers to jump on, 813-990-4620. There's two open lines there. Pinellas, 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We're collar-driven. We want to get you guys on with Gerald McCoy. You're the fans. This is your show, too. Come on back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Now return to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back. It's the Gerald McCoy Show. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We got a full boatload. I want to remind you that Josh Freeman is, of course, here every Thursday night. But tomorrow night, Aurelius Ben, rookie wide receiver, will sit down for an hour. And on Friday, Adam Hayward actually got some reps because Geno got a little nicked up in that game. So we'll be talking to our special teams extraordinaire, Adam Hayward, and reserve linebacker. You ready? You ready to talk some college, bro?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. Jay.
Wait, hey. I got a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Who's number one in the BCS?
It's not Boise State, is it?
No.
Okay.
Is it? Is it Texas?
Nope.
Alabama?
Nope.
Oregon?
Ain't the Gators. Keep going. Keep going.
It's not Oklahoma, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh! Oh! Oklahoma is number one.
It's almost like a BCS curse sometimes. You know, you get up there and you don't last very long. You think you're gonna be there for the long haul?
Yeah, we could be there for the long haul,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Big game,
all right.
Bob.
All right, let's go to these phones. Scott, James, Steve, we're all coming to you guys. Hang on. Jay in Tampa, you're up first with Gerald McCoy. Welcome.
Hey, Gerald, how you doing?
Hey, Jay. How you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for taking my call. I just had been a Bucs fan for a long time, and I just had a question for you. Yesterday, Geno Hayes alluded to the possibility that there are some players on the defense that aren't necessarily putting in the time that they need to put in the film room, basically the extra time to become great. And I thought that was pretty amazing that he actually even alluded to that. And I wanted to ask you straight out in front of the fans, are you one of those guys that he's talking about, or are you doing everything you can to become great? Thank you.
Oh, well,
I think it was a little bit. He didn't say guys weren't studying. He basically said different players look at different film differently. In other words, the DBs are going to look at their sets differently than the D-line and stuff. So,
right. I don't think he was, you know, calling anybody out or saying anybody wasn't putting in the time. I think he was just kind of describing and explaining how different positions watch film. Like Rondé watched film completely different than I would watch it.
Give me an example. Give me an example of that.
Well, I watch. Sure. I mean, he would watch how a running back, a receiver comes out his breaks or how he runs his routes, whereas I would watch how offensive lineman sets or how he blocks or how his hand is sitting before the play.
And the linebackers are looking mostly at running backs. Or
right, looking at running backs. Yeah, sure. They even look at receivers, how they come out their breaks or how they would be in their fits. There's a lot of different things that you look at. Linebackers always look at the formations. I have to look at the formation because there's a certain time where I have to call out the formation in order to get everybody in position to rush the passer.
So everybody's studying film.
Right, and a lot of people don't really realize that on the field. A lot of people think we're just rushing. But while I'm out there, I'm considered what they call the quarterback of the D-line. I have to call out what side is the passing strength. That way we know which person gets the one-on-one and which DN gets the one-on-one. I have to look at all that and call that out in the middle of the play,
you're doing
right before the play. So a lot of people don't realize a lot that I'm doing early.
Yeah. Jay, appreciate the phone call. We're going to go to Scott and Brandon. You're up next.
Hey, Ledge, first of all, kudos to you, my man, because you do an awesome job with these interview shows and everything else. And it's Scott O.D., by the way. So,
hey, Scotty, good to talk to you, man. You know, appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, and Gerald, first of all, I want to say I really appreciate you coming and doing this because, you know, as Buck fans, we really get a little insight into who you are as a person. And from what I can hear, I mean, you sound like a real grounded dude and a good guy. And as a fan, it's nice to know we have that, you know.
Thank you.
Now, that being said, I got a tough question or two for you here. What do you find yourself having more issues physically adapting to the NFL at this point? Do you feel like you're getting, quite frankly, physically beat at the line, or is it the mental aspect of the game right now that you're finding to be a bigger challenge? Are you thinking too much and not reacting? Are you still learning the defense? And, you know, and I'm not singling you out, bro. I mean, yeah, you're a rookie, and they've always say that defensive tackle, defensive line, it takes some time. But from your own mind, do you feel like your biggest challenge is physically at this point, or is it mentally?
All right, let's phrase it different. Scotty, good call, bro, and appreciate the love. And I know you're a big-time Buck fan, and, you know, you look at it through realistic glasses, and that's the way Buck fans need to, a very young football team. Let's put it this way. Battles that you lose and battles that you win at the line of scrimmage. Give me the reason, not a reason, but give me an example of why you would win one as to maybe why you would lose one at the line of scrimmage. You know, double team. There are factors here, but go ahead.
I can answer both of those.
Sure.
I can answer your question and Scotty's question at the same time. The thing with me is, like I mentioned earlier, there was some confusion on my part on what it is I needed to do. The coaches were doing a great job coaching it, but me, I was slowing myself down because of my confusion. So it wasn't that I was getting beat physically. It wasn't that I was just, you know, mentally outworked, because I'm putting in the time. I was in the film room before I came up here. That's not it. It was me thinking too much. I was slowing myself down instead of just saying, okay, what I know now as opposed to what I knew before I sat down and talked to my coaches is the three technique in the Tampa 2 defense can't be wrong. He can get upfield, and that's what he's supposed to do. I was doing it a little different because I was thinking too much. Well, now the thinking has went out the window. Once I put my hand in the dirt, there's no more thinking. And that's kind of what was going on. So with me thinking, let's go back to the Saints game. There would be a reach block, and I would play my man, and I would play the block. I've won. I'm in my gap. That's what my job is. Well, Coach Morris and Coach Wash wants me to go outside the box and make that extra play. Well, now that I'm in my gap, now throw my man and fall back into the A gap.
Shed your tackle.
Right.
You've already taken care of one gap is what you're saying. Now you need to go sniffing in another
blocker,
gap.
Now shed the blocker and go take care of another gap.
Gotcha.
That's that extra, you know, play that they want me to make. And that's one of those things where I was just slowing myself down, thinking so much of, you know, don't let it get outside of you. You are the three technique. It cannot get outside of you, so stay in your gap. Okay, I have my gap secured. Now fall back to the A and make the play. You know, and that's kind of an example of what has been going on and what was going on, opposed to what will happen now.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Got two open lines, one in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-4614620, and 1-800-596-BOX. Also got an open line there. James in O-Town. Appreciate the phone call. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Gerald, let me just say, I got a couple quick comments. I'm happy to have you here in Tampa, and I just want to make sure you don't pay attention to any of that gossip, man, because like everyone's saying, you know, it takes a few years for you to, you know, become great, and you're making the, you know, all the right strides to get there. And I know you've been hearing this all week. I just I want to hear from your mouth. How are you looking forward to playing against your former Sooners teammate in Sam Bradford, and how do you plan to stop him and Steven Jackson this week?
Good question, James. That was a real good question.
How well do you know Sam, first of all? Is it a pretty tight relationship?
Yeah, I've been knowing Sam since we were like kids in Little League. And Sam's a great guy. Let me talk about Sam a little bit off the field before I get to him as a quarterback. He's a great guy. He really is. He's a hard worker. And kind of the reason the way is Sam is as good as he is on the field is because of how he is off the field. He works really hard, and Sam is one of the smartest people I know. He had like 3.9 GPA all the way through college. And some classes I passed actually is because Sam helped me. He would kind of tutor me, and, you know, I appreciate that. Sam, he's just a really good guy. Now you go to on the field, and, I mean, there's not a more accurate passer that I've seen in person, at least in that's kind of what makes him so good. He's so smart. He sees his reads, and if you say put the ball on that fly on the wall, he'll do it from 1,000 miles away. He'll put it there. I mean, he doesn't have the biggest arm, but he's so accurate, and that's what makes him so good. It helps that he's tall. He is, and, you know, he's picking up on the game really fast. He's been playing well. Now, that running back they have, it's a big dude. He's a big guy. Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah.
That's
a skill set, right?
He can
there,
run.
Kid.
He can run you over.
Mm-hmm.
He can run past you.
He can juke you.
He can juke you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's getting back to 100% healthy, and you know that'll make anybody nervous. But we'll be ready for it.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be a good test for you guys. And like you said, you used the word rebound, and that's really in the NFL. I said this in the postgame show when I was talking to Dave Moore. I said a true sign of a young team is how do they rebound from a loss? You know, do you lose two back-to-back? And that's, you know, you don't want to get into that downward spiral. So a good way to rebound is to face a great back and say, you know what, we can play in this league too. So good call, James. Appreciate it. Steve and Valerico, got a couple open lines behind Steve. You guys can jump on. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, D.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I have less a question, more of a comment. You guys can talk about it. I'm very intrigued by this whole hitting piece that's happening on with the fines, et cetera, today. In the last few days, we've been hearing about it. And my point is, my thoughts are that not that we necessarily have to legislate it, but it does need to be looked at because the speed and strength at which our players play today is so exponentially greater than it was 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and the technology on equipment can't keep up with the growth and the speed and the strength of the players that it really is a much more dangerous game than it was. I'm not saying it shouldn't be violent, and we aren't gladiators, or you folks aren't gladiators, but at the same time, it's becoming, you'd think from the outside looking in, that it's becoming more safe because of the speed and the strength of the players. And I know that violence is inherent in the game, but at the same time, guys do appear to be getting hurt. So I'll hang up and just listen to what you guys have to say. Thank you for your time.
Good call. Absolutely good call. Now, you've only been in the league a short period of time, but you have got a good sampling of the expelled energy during some of the contacts. You know, you're not going to get into clean shots. The clean shot to you would probably be a blindside on a quarterback. That'd probably be the closest thing to a clean hit for you. But, you know, you guys aren't playing tiddlywinks.
Yeah, I think the rule, I don't think there's anything wrong with the rule. I just think the way they stress it, they make it seem like guys are really out there trying to take another guy out. I mean, of course, you're trying to hit him hard. It's the nature of the game. That's what you want to do. You're playing hard. You're playing as hard as you can, and you're playing a game you love. Of course, things are going to happen But the way they're portraying it is guys are out there, he intentionally hit him helmet to helmet, or no, you taught to put your face on the man. And if you lead, I mean, if you hit with your face, that's how every coach is tackling.
Sure.
Put your face on him. That's what you, I mean, you hear that. It's universal. Put your face on him. So if you're tackling like that, of course it's going to seem like you're leading head first or whatever. I mean, but you're just out there playing hard. One rule I think is great is how they protect the quarterbacks. You know, a head-to-head hit is rough on a quarterback with, you know, them looking downfield, and you come, you hit them, a defenseless quarterback. I mean, I'm not saying don't hit them hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying a head-to-head hit, you know, that is rough. But, you know, it's just the way they're portraying it. You make it seem like guys are actually intentionally trying to take guys out.
Well, we had a safety named Malcolm Jacobs take an out-of-bounds hit. I don't know, he was kind of stumbling when he hit free, but it looked like the helmet was close to the knee, and he didn't get fined for that, by the way. Now, he was flagged for it twice, actually, but there was no fine. The guys that get fined didn't get flagged. So there's some real inconsistencies. And something else that you need to ponder is there's a difference between wanting to hurt a guy. That's part of the game. And injure a guy.
Right.
That's a big difference. You want the guy walking back to the huddle going, where the hell are my lungs?
Yeah.
You want that. That's part of the game. But you don't want to purposely, you know, set out to injure someone. So, how, you know, in a split second, how do you make up the difference between that? You can't. And by the way, here's another thing. I know this is your show, but I'm running with it here. Don't
you got it?
You got a wide receiver running through a zone, and he thinks it's man to man. Okay, and a quarterback thinks it's man to man, and it's not. And you lead him, and suddenly the next guy in the zone takes his head off. That's the quarterback's fault. That's the quarterback's fault.
There is a lot that goes into it. There really is. And it's just the NFL rule, man. They're just trying to protect the players, keep the game fun, but safe. And, you know.
Jeff just held up a sign saying, he'll pay your fine. No, he won't.
Yeah, they, I mean. They're just trying to protect the players. So I understand what the NFL is trying to do. They're just trying to keep people safe. There's too many concussions. And, you know, I'm not talking about the gear we wear because I like my helmet. I like the way other helmets look on other players or teams or whatever. I like the style of the helmets. It could be the helmets. You don't know. There's just been so many concussions. There are concussions left and right. So many concussions. And you look on tape or you watch it on TV, it doesn't even look like he hit his head that hard. So you're wondering what's really going on. You know?
Well, you know, there's a lot of guys, I'm sure, that had concussions. Rodney Harrison talked about it last night during the broadcast that he probably had a couple of dozen he never even told his coaches about. And the couple of times he did, maybe one of his coaches said, I don't want to hear about it, get back on the field. So this is an issue that's going to come bubbling to the surface. And there's more deeper roots. You know, there's older players, as Jeff and I were speaking about before we went on the air, that, you know, they're in their 50s now, and they're starting to see that, you know, the NFL simply wants to put the best product on the field and keep it as safe as possible. Bottom line. All right, let's get back to the callers. John and Pat, stand by. We're coming right to you. Doug in Sarasota, you're on the Gerald McCoy Show.
Yeah, you guys there?
Yep, we got you, Doug. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I mean, we've all been playing peewee football and high school football all the way up through, and, you know, all of our coaches have stressed about spearing and, you know, going after kickers and, you know, the guys that you get a hit here and there, I mean, you can't find everybody. But, you know, we've had guys in the past, you know, on Oakland guys or Steeler guys that have been blatant, you know, rough defensive players. And, I mean, you got to look at that end of it. But you can't take after every guy that throws a hard hit on somebody like that. And I just kind of, you know, as a defensive player, what is your real view on that?
Here's a perfect example. You're rushing the quarterback, and he's peeling back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's coming off the old Fran Tarkenton scramble, and you got him blindside. Now, you got a chance to hit him right in the solar plexus with your shoulder pads, or you can try to get him in the chin with your helmet. You've got a second or two. You're going to do the right thing.
Right. I mean, like
but
I
why?
Said, like I said, I mean, you're not trying to injure anybody. Do you want to hurt this guy? Yes. That's what this game is about. It's a violent game. People get hurt. But do you want to injure anybody? Of course not. Nobody wants to take anybody else out or end their career or end their season or end this game. I mean, nobody wants to do that. I mean, although if you got a quarterback like Drew Brees, you like if he wasn't playing. I mean, but you don't want to injure. You know,
nope,
I mean,
absolutely.
If he has to sit out the rest of the game, hey.
On a clean hit,
still be
as
it.
Long as it's a clean, as long as it's a clean hit.
Right?
Have you had any no names, but have you felt you know guys diving at your legs? Have you felt any cheap shot around you? You know, in the pits because you're in the pits.
Yeah, I mean it happens. Offensive linemen they cut. I don't think offensive linemen intentionally try, you know, injure a guy, but they do try and cut, and that's I mean that's just how they block. And yeah, I've been hit. I think illegally before. I mean, it happens. That's this game.
Well, they have the rule, though, that, in other words, let's say if an offensive line's engaging you, they right. can't have it. You can't have another running back come up and take you high while he's taking you low. So there are some rules in there,
there
to make
rules.
Sure.
I mean, sure. The NFL, they try to keep it as safe as possible. A lot of people complain, say they're taking the fun out the game. They're taking the mean out the game. You know, they're just trying to keep everybody safe.
You guys are modern-day gladiators. You do know that.
That's what they classify.
Well, like I said, if you start wearing flags, I'm stopping to look. I'm
only
not going to watch
Bucks
anymore.
Flag.
I'm not watching
only
anymore.
Only a Bucks flag.
Exactly. You got it. All right, John and Pat, sorry, guys. We're going to have to hit a break, but we want to get to you as soon as we come back, so don't go anywhere. Got open lines right behind those two guys. Matter of fact, Hillsboro 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. College football's heating up, and your boys are number one.
Number one.
Number one. You getting some texts about that this week? You must
oh,
be.
Oh, yeah. I have been.
You talking a little Texas trash to your boys in the locker room?
No Roy need. Miller? We're
you're
number one.
Walking up to Roy Miller and reminding them that you're number one now?
We already beat them. We moved on.
All right, let's come back and do the second half of the Gerald McCoy Show. Get on those phone lines. I'm Ledge. He's Gerald McCoy. All we need is you right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
3-2 Buccaneers getting ready to take on the Rams. Rams are resurging at 3-3. Going to be a good one. Looking forward to a real good ball game here at the Raymond James Stadium. Still some tickets, though. You can go to Buccaneers.com. Or you can walk up on Sunday morning, but why don't you go to Buccaneers.com, pick yourself out a sweet seat, and come watch your young football team go to 4-2. Open lines, 813-990-4620. Got an open line there. Got an open line at Pinellas at 727-461-4620. Going back to the phone, John in Trinity. You're on the Gerald McCoy Show. John?
Hey, good evening, Gerald. How's it going, bud?
All right, John. How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. I'm not going to come down on you. I think you guys have had a lot of flash of brilliance. You're young. I've been a Buck fan for a long time. I've seen the trials and tribulations of a young and upcoming defense. You know, everybody talks about the Buccaneer defense of the 90s. They had the same trials and tribulations. I think you guys are have a lot of greatness ahead of you. So keep it up, man. Biggest downside I think this year is the offensive line, but that's neither here nor there. I really want to hear what you got to say about what you got coming up this week. You got Steven Jackson as a running back. This guy's a beast. They got a fairly decent offensive line, and Sam Bradford. I mean, you know him probably better than anybody else. What are you guys going to prep from a defensive line to get into this coming up week?
What does Jackson show you on film when you watch him?
Exactly what you just heard. Mm-hmm. That's what he makes you do. You just go. I mean, you get so tired
NFL,
of watching
yeah.
him do this to people. You like, golly, would you just stop it? It's not fair. But no, he is great. He's a great running back. He is. Like I said, he can do everything. You know, he can shake you. He can run past you. He can run through you. He can get open. I mean, if they need to pass to him, he can block. He can do it all. He's just a really good running back. And we just have to keep preparing the same, man. We can't change anything. We have to go out there each day working hard, get our game plan, focus on it, study it. Don't just get it and put it to the side until it's time to practice again. You have to study it, know it, live it, be it and go out there and just perform, man. We have to go out there as a team, as a family, and just keep doing the same things we've been doing. We had a hiccup, but it's okay. We get some medicine and keep on going.
Isn't it funny how, with, you know, we're talking about all the glorious hits and all the highlight actions in this game, but it really does come down to fundamentals and tackling and being in the right spot, but being in the right spot is fundamentals and everything else. It really does come down to almost just like good old Pop Warner football with bigger guys, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That can run 4.2s.
Right, right. He's a fast guy, too. Yeah. I mean, football's football. It just advances. The older you get, it's just like school. School is school, but it just gets harder. And but you have to prepare the same, man. We're not going to change anything. Our coach is not discouraged. We're not discouraged.
Why should you? You're 3-2.
It's just going to get better. I mean, it's simple as that. I don't know why, you know, you have a bad game or two bad games or things don't look as good as they should. People immediately say, I don't know. Why? That's when you show signs of weakness. That's mental weakness, and we don't have that on this team. We work hard. We work through things, and we just keep it pushing to keep it rolling.
That comes from the top down.
Right.
That's from the coach. That's how it works, man. Stay strong of mind, and everything else follows foot. NPR, we're going to Newport Richie. Mike, you're up next with Gerald McCoy. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Gerald, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Gerald, let me ask a question. It looks like sometimes you guys, I don't know if you really recognize, it looks like sometimes you guys are playing like a fist technique where you guys are just controlling the line of scrimmage and instead of getting depth in the backfield. Is that some of the calls you guys do?
Oh, in other words, moving parallel rather than
there
upfield?
There is some calls where we're supposed to skate and cover the quarterback. There are some calls where we're supposed to cover the quarterback and still get upfield. But it's also one of those things where you have two guys rushing off the edge. One guy has to get upfield, or one guy's dropping, and the other guy he's just skating in front of the quarterback. Even though he's trying to penetrate, he still has three offensive linemen in front of him. So it's kind of hard to penetrate through three offensive linemen. But then there's also calls where you have a tackle drop and another guy just skate and just mirror the quarterback. Wherever he goes, you go.
So parallel, skate means parallel, basically?
Yeah, parallel. You just float on the line. So if you've seen that, that is exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I was watching a couple times in the last game that you guys were playing that technique. I was wondering. But, hey, listen, good luck for the season, the rest of the season, and go Bucks.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate the phone call. Mike, you know, every guy that plays D-line wants to get upfield.
Right.
But there are times you're not supposed to. Give me the skate call. Is it a first down? I mean, I'm trying to figure out why I wouldn't be running towards the quarterback when the ball's hiked and why I would be going side to sideline. Just your responsibility?
It's just what you're supposed to do.
Someone else has contain.
Right. You have two rushers off the edge. You have a guy who's dropping the extra man in the coverage, and you have a guy who's – because you only have two edge rushers, you have a guy who's mirroring the quarterback just in case he tries to run. So, I really don't see a problem with that. That's why you have those edge rushers. They have one-on-one, so they have to win. Then you got the extra guy in the coverage. I think it's a good call, and I don't have no problem with it.
You been watching any games? You probably don't. You've been looking at enough film, but have you seen any other NFL games or highlights, ESPN highlights?
For some reason, now when I'm in season, now that I'm in the NFL, I just don't really watch highlights. I don't. I try when I'm not here or, you know, when I'm not in football mode, I just like to get away because this game can be so overwhelming. Sometimes you just want to relax. And, you know, I see highlights. I seen some great catches this weekend.
Any come to mind?
The two, there was a pick in the end. I didn't watch the game, but I kept hearing about these catches. I don't know who it was. The guy caught the ball, you know, hand across his body and backwards. And Pierre Garçon. Yeah, he snatched it. And
his touchdown catch.
And then there was an interception. And, I mean, same game. Colts, a guy jumped up one hand, snatched the ball out the air with a perfectly thrown ball. It was crazy, man. It was some good plays.
No let up in this league, is there?
No, that's the NFL, though. I love it.
You're starting to see that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Five games in. I mean, you know, when you're playing college ball, there's probably a couple of cream puffs on your schedule here and there, I'm sure. Not your school, but every other school would play cream puffs, I'm sure. But no cream puffs in the NFL. Even the that parody thing we keep hearing about. Open line,
Actually, two. One in Hillsboro, one in Pinellas. Go for it, guys. 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Your overall assessment of I don't want to say a Hall of Famer. Let's say a guy that could end up in the Hall of Fame if he keeps it up. Drew Brees is a pretty darn good quarterback, isn't he?
He is. He is, man. Drew Brees is.
What'd you come away thinking about him, you know?
I mean, I hate that I had to see it in person, his greatness in person. But I'll have a chance to play him again. I'm looking forward to it. He's a lot of fun, and it's great to play against a guy of his caliber. And it's just really good, man. Like I said, you hate to see it in person because it means you're playing against him, and he's doing well against your team. But, you know, he has this kind of this look-off move. I don't know. I mean, I love seeing it. I just didn't like seeing it against us. He'd look off the defender, and he kind of, like, bounces his shoulder. I don't know what that is, but it works.
I've seen him do it. I know what you're talking about.
You know what
about.
I'm talking about? Yeah, he'll have a defender coming, and he doesn't even look at him, but he bounced his shoulder forward and throw to the opposite side of the field. I mean, it's amazing to see.
I've seen him do it. I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, and he doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's perfected his craft. And like I said, you know, almost mirrors last year. You weren't here last year, but last year the Saints came here, and they kind of slapped us around a little. Then we went to their crib and upset them. So let's hope that when we end a little later on, when we travel to New Orleans, we'll be, like you said, you get a chance to face them again and get a chance to do things a little bit differently. Jerry, did you say we had a call? Eddie in Newport Richie. I didn't get a chance to write your name
down. Hey, how you doing, Mr. McCoy?
Hey, Eddie.
Good. I just had a question. I heard you say earlier that a lot of your mistakes you thought was from you thinking too much.
Right.
And I was just curious if that's something that you kind of, you know, figured out before the Saints game or something that pretty much hit you when you were watching film this week. And that's about all I had, and I look forward to the rest of the year. Thanks.
Thank you, Eddie.
Yeah, what did you mean by
that's a
thinking?
Good question.
What
that's a good question,
that?
Man. Sure. And, yeah, watching film this game. I could clearly see. It isn't like I'm not playing hard, but I could clearly see that I'm slowing myself down because I am thinking too much, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't want them to get outside of me because I don't want to mess up the defense. I don't want them to do this. I can't let this happen because if I can't make a mistake because then you can't play like that, man. You slow yourself down. You have to play reckless but smart. You know, Coach Morris always says, let's play hard, fast, consistent. You know, I mean, that's just. That's what you have to do, man. You have to play smart, too. But you have to go out there and play. You have to give it your all, play hard, play fast, and just be smart about it, you know. But play reckless. That's what you have to do, and the best players in this league do.
Yeah. Most of the guys I see playing in the league, like you said,
defensive lineman.
You're shedding, you know, you like you said, I got my guy, I got my gap, but now what do I do? It's like, hey, if I took care of this gig, let me help out my man on my right now. Yeah, that kind of thing. And that's what you got to get to that level where you're like, okay, got it done, moving on. Get it done, moving on. And that's like 1 second. It's the equivalent of Geno Hayes last year when he was talking about, well, it took me a little while to get my read. This year I'm getting my read a little quicker, and it's allowing me to play a little bit more reckless, just like you just said. All right, Brent, we're coming to you. You're on deck. It's T-Bone. T-Bone, you're up next on the Gerald McCoy Show. Appreciate the call.
How you doing, man? Hello?
What's up?
We got you. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to, first of all, good evening, gentlemen, Ledge and Matt, talking football. But I wanted to kind of say something about what he was talking about when he first came on about, you know, loving the game and getting better, you know, because I can relate to that. You know what I'm saying? A man can relate to another man when he wants to be good at something or no matter what he does, you know, washing dishes, you know, digging ditches. You want to be the best that you can at whatever you're doing. And I really, 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 you know, like seeing that in our young defensive tackle. But also, you know, you got Steven Jackson coming. You know, they watching film, you know, how we gave up big yards to on the ground to this guy from, I don't even know his name, from the Saints.
Chris Ivory.
Chris Ivory, yeah. Well, we gave, you know, you know they thinking they gonna come through and do that to us Sunday, so you know you need to shut them down early, make them throw the ball. Okay.
Appreciate that, bro. Right.
You got it. Yeah. Does that come from your dad, by the way? Your drive to excel, to succeed, not just be okay with where you're at in life.
That's a mix of both my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother had one of the, You know, she was so driven. She was one of those people who, if you asked her something and she knew it, but she just forgot it, she would not let it go until she had it. She just wouldn't. And if you asked her something and she didn't know it, she wouldn't let it go until she found out. And it's just in me, and I love playing this game, and I have so much passion for it. And I have fun with it, though. I do have fun with it, and my man T-Bone has some good words to say, and I appreciate that. We do have the Rams coming in with Steven Jackson, and he's a great player. And the mistakes we had are easily fixed, man. We just got to, you know, we can't be discouraged. We just got to keep on working. We have to go in. We've graded ourselves very critical, and our coaches, they're in the lab right now getting things together, and we have a lot of great coaches who make great changes and game day adjustments, and they always give us a great game plan. And we're going to go out there with our game plan and just execute it.
You got it, brother. Brent is up next on the Gerald McCoy Show. Brent, appreciate the phone call. Good evening.
How you doing, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Brent?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's up?
Yeah, I got a question for you, Gerald. Well, first of all, you know, welcome to the area, man. You guys are doing a heck of a job. And, you know, to all the naysayers out there, then you're not true fans. So that's all I got to say about that. But, Gerald, what do you think the coach, if anything, drawing on the Super Bowl defense that we had? I see you guys play with that sort of intensity, but yet I see, you know, the miscues, the missed tackles and things like that to where, you know, is it the youth of the team and not being able to, you know, pick up on things the way some of the veterans would, you know, like Lynch and Brooks and all that? Is that where that's coming from? Because I see the intensity that you guys have, you know, but it's just the simple tackles and the simple miscues and things like that, you know, that, you know, like when the Saints were able to run up on us and things like that. What do you think? Is the coach, can he draw from some of his instances in working under Monty Kiffin?
One thing you have to look at, and like I said, we never give ourselves a crutch. We never make excuses. One thing you have to look at as compared to that team and ours, that team wasn't always the way they were. They grew to that. Those guys learned over the years. All the great players from that team wasn't always great. They didn't come in being great. Those guys grew to being what they were.
As a unit. Not just individually, but as a unit.
Together.
Because defense is played as a unit.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were young at some point, and right now we're the second youngest team in the league.
That's Rondé's fault, by the way. If Rondé wasn't on this team, we would be the youngest team on this.
We are going to grow together, and we are working to get to that point. That's why I keep saying we can't be discouraged. We just have to keep working together and grow closer as a family and just keep bouncing back and keep fighting and keep working and keep working. I'm sure Coach Morris knows what he's doing. He worked with that group, the Super Bowl team.
Sure
he
did.
Was here.
Yeah, he was.
So he knows how they work, and we're working to get back to that. And we're playing hard. We really are. We're playing with a lot of intensity, playing fast. There's just some miscues that we have to fix, and we will fix them.
It's amazing when you watch they have that film that you guys look at. It's almost it's not the TV shot, because the TV always follows the football. But if you follow a defense, it's almost a ballet. You'll see guys in back pedals. You'll see guys running parallel. You'll see guys running forward. And when all 11 are doing it right, and that's when you talk about the cohesiveness of a unit, you also have the chemistry. And chemistry is important. And I think this is how the young team develops chemistry, is you're not only playing together, not just the whole – go ahead.
And talking about chemistry, let me – everybody always asks me, well, what did you learn from Sap? What did you do – you know, what did Sap tell you? Let me tell you something Sap told me. When he got better in this league and he made some of those reckless plays where you wondering, like, how did he do that? He told me the reason he could do that is he knew who was behind him. He knew what personnel was in. He knew his teammates. He knew he had 55 behind him. And regardless of what he did, 55 would cover.
Sure.
He knew it. And they grew together like that. They came in together and they just grew together that way. So – that's the chemistry they had. And we're growing that same chemistry with this group we have now.
That is the excitement for, like, I think it was Brent, our last caller, or was it T-Bone, that said, you know, I don't want to say the real hardcore Buck fan, but the Buck fan that sees what's happening in front of them, the whole picture here, is this is a young unit. It's a young unit that's going to be successful for years and years and years. And that's where that chemistry is born. But it's also born through tough losses. You know, I guarantee you that you've learned as much on a tough loss that you've than you've learned on any win. Correct?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all about learning, getting better.
Yeah, you have to, you can never be satisfied, and you have to work to get better each week.
All right, we're going to come back and finish up the Gerald McCoy Show. Been some good calls. Don't forget, tomorrow night we will sit down with Aurelius Ben. He's been working into the offense. He's, let me see, he's already up to six catches. He's had six in his last three games, and he's another weapon. Again, chemistry on the offense, we're talking about that time. Josh Freeman, of course, every Thursday night. And then we'll sit down with Adam Hayward, number 57, linebacker for the Bucks for Friday night's Total Access. So don't forget about those shows that are coming your way all this week right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, guys, welcome back. A couple more minutes on the Gerald McCoy Show. This is the part of the show that Gerald likes to go to the good book for his influence and his inspiration, and I'll let you take it from there.
Very simple this week. You guys know my faith is very strong to me, and I love it. It's the reason I am who I am. It's the reason I live. It's the reason why I'm alive. Everything. And like I always say each week, all my focus is on God and doing things for God and believing in Him. And my scripture for this week is a very famous one. You see it written on a lot of different things. You see it written on people's tape. You see it everywhere. It's very simple. I mean, after I say it, most people will probably say it with me. As I said, it's Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And I try and live by that. I always keep believing and keep believing. Don't get discouraged. Keep believing. And I always try and honor God with everything I do and keep Him first. And I pray that His will be done all the time. And regardless of how I feel, and I pray that God's will be done. And I believe in Him with everything I do. And I believe that through Him, anything can be accomplished. So according to His will, anything can be accomplished. So that's my scripture for the week, Philippians 4:13. If you guys want to go back and read Philippians 4, I think you'll like it. I think it'll be a good scripture or a good book for you to read and help you through the week. So that's my scripture for the week. Got the Rams coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Jackson, King Sam, as I call him. Mr. Accurate, pretty boy, smart guy, whatever. He has it all.
You got a spark on your eye when you start thinking about the challenge. Yeah. I saw you started talking about football.
I'm excited, man. I've never hit Sam, ever.
Well, get it done.
Ever. Yes. And
more than once.
Right. Right.
Send them home dirty.
We're going to have fun with it, man. We're excited. We really are. Everybody thinks we're down because of, they lost to the Saints, Super Bowl champions. You know, we expected that, blah, 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 and blah, blah. Oh, well. We're excited. We get to play the Rams.
They come talking to you next week. You're going to be 4-2. You're going to be 4-2 in late October.
They come to our house.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
4-2, feeling great.
You got a good show, bro.
Go Bucks.
All right, man. Everybody else, so many good calls tonight. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Don't forget Aurelius Ben. You want to find out about that rookie, you tune in tomorrow night, and we will sit down and talk Bucks ball with him. Freeman on Thursdays, Adam Hayward Friday night. Thanks to Jerry Petuck in the studio. We will talk to everybody tomorrow right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.